name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm the righteous indignation of the fans.
That's right. I'm doing better than you. I'm happier than you. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. And so can I just call you Riff?
Yeah, that's good, because reading is fundamental.
That's right. It is. So, well, the more you know. You know what? You and I are going to be talking this week on our summer special all about the news and everything that we have heard basically since, you know, Barry's left Iris to do all this work with wedding invitations is basically what that takes a long time. I know, because I still have not finished my thank you cards for my wedding, so I know how long that stuff can take.
Oh, yeah, and you've been married for, like two decades or something?
24 years, actually. Yeah,
20. Yeah, yeah.
So, I'll get to it eventually.
Yeah, take your time.
Yeah. I'm waiting for some of the people to, you know,
yeah,
not need one anymore. But Riff, you know,
Surprising? I was just going to say, it's just surprising how much information can come out, you know, being off for what have we been off for, like a month and a half, 2 months now?
Yes. Yeah. Well, man, it wasn't just from San Diego Comic-Con.
No.
We've been getting here and there. Even since San Diego Comic-Con, I've heard a couple little pieces. So, yeah, we'll do our best to kind of break it down for you now. And then, you know, if we get more, then we'll just have to come back and share some more with you.
We'll be back. Yeah.
We have until October, right?
October 10th.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
Season 4 premiere, 8 p.m. Pacific and Eastern.
Yes. And Mountain, I don't even remember anymore.
It's like 8:45 or something Mountain.
It's a weird time warp Flash thing. Anyway. All right. So it's hard for me to remember calling you Riff, so I'm just going to call you Jay for a while.
Okay.
You know, that stands out to me a lot. I hope you're having a good summer.
I have
spent the summer basically watching and reading Flash because I just can't stop. And you and I talked earlier in the summer, you know, you and I were just kind of chatting, texting back and forth. And I told you I thought I'd go back and watch season 3 of The Flash, just kind of binge watch it because it showed up on Netflix really quick.
It was a week after.
That's right.
It was over, yeah. So, I said good luck.
And I decided to just kind of binge watch the whole thing because I think I talked many times last season about how I thought it would flow well if you watched it all like that. And I have to say, it really did for me. It worked a lot. There were, you know, some of those points you and I talked about that were a little slower, didn't work, mm-hmm. or whatever. But for the most part, I really, really enjoyed watching it like that.
Did it seem as dark?
You know, it didn't seem as dark to me, and it's still, I mean, darker than the first two seasons, for sure. But
sure.
But when you watch it in between, because they threw, like, either little fun episodes, like the musical episode here or there, or some HR lines or some Cisco lines or things like that kind of lighten the mood a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I watched it all strung together like that, it would go down for a while and then it would pick up a little bit and then it'll go down. But you didn't have to wait for a whole week to kind of to brood on whatever sadness happened or find out that your secret girlfriend is going to die. Well, not secret girlfriend. I guess that's not a secret, is it? But anyway, so I do recommend that. I tried to think of a way to explain to you how it was even more enjoyable for me. And I can't find the words, but it just worked for me. But I do sympathize with the people. I do understand what you're saying. A lot of those things just don't bother me as I'm watching it. So,
sure.
some of the things that people talked about, not liking as much in season three have been addressed, and we're going to talk about those this week. So we will get to that for sure. But also, I went back after I finished season three. I said, you know, I haven't watched season one for a while. Maybe I'll check out a couple episodes of that. And I just didn't,
a couple.
Yeah, I didn't stop until the end of season two. So I got through those. Then I was reading a bunch of vintage Flash comics, and then I said, you know what? You know, what I got for my birthday from my brother. He bought me the complete series. On DVD of the 1990 Flash with John Wesley Shipp.
You went through that again.
So I'm almost through that, about halfway through that season two. So it's just been a Flash summer for me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, how have you found time to do anything else, man?
I'm supposed to do something
I mean,
else.
I know you've been doing other stuff, so.
You know, it's nice to – those things that I've seen before, it's nice to kind of have on in the background as I'm working on some art or, you know, doing work around the house or something like
That's
that.
That's great,
so,
yeah.
That's kind of nice. So, but okay. So enough about me. They didn't tune in to listen to what I've been doing all summer. They want to know what, you know, the cast and the crew have been doing. So,
oh, hey everybody! I didn't see you there. Yeah.
They snuck in while you were listening to me. So,
yeah.
Well, you know, we have some news items, and then I want to go toward the end or after the news list here. I want to just go over some of the things that came out of Comic-Con and since Comic-Con. So let's, why don't we just take turns on these? This is like a nice bulleted list. So, I'll start with the first one and first kind of, this is a little bit older, but it happened right after the end of the season and we haven't talked to you since then. I want to say congratulations because, the Flash won a Leo Award for, visual effects.
Oh, okay.
So,
and what is a Leo Award? Do we know? Is that
that's a thing you get a statue for? And
awesome.
You know what? I don't know what a Leo. I've heard of it. I've heard of those awards been given out, and it sounds like they're more it's like the what are the TV awards in America called? I'm trying to think.
Emmys.
Yeah, it's like the Emmys, but it's for the British Columbia film and television industry.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a project of the Motion Picture Arts and Sciences Foundation of British Columbia.
Yeah, there
okay.
you go. So it's cool. You know, just a different place than here, but any award is good because it kind of recognizes all the hard work that people do in these types of.
But
TV
it's a
shows.
Canadian award.
Canadian award
is what you. Yeah.
So what do you say? It's not as.
So, well, the exchange rate on Canadian awards is not as good as it used to be. It's just not as strong. I don't think.
No, you don't think okay. so. I thought it was getting bigger. So, well, that was the first thing. So, congratulations and well deserved because the visual effects in this series are still very, very well done.
I think the special effects for a lot of the superhero shows for a TV budget are, you know, because they try to do a lot of creative things to limit the effects, but then they also splurge where they need to. Like, you know, we talked about the fact that they brought back Gorilla Grodd, or that they ended up kind of just doing King Shark, you know, in the middle of, what was that, season two.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... They got these ideas. They want to do it, and I think they pull it off admirably, and so that's great that they got recognized because I can guarantee you, just as being a fan of special effects and having worked in effects for a little bit in my previous life as in film, there are more effects in any show than you actually see.
Oh yeah.
So you're thinking, oh yeah, it's the scenes where Barry is like speeding, or it's King Shark or Gorilla Grodd. There's other stuff they're doing. They're taking Henry Cavill's mustache out. you know, they're doing digital set extensions. They're removing, you know, signs or extras or, you know, whatever. So there's a lot of other stuff going on. So that's
yeah.
great.
And I'm glad to see that shows like – and there's tons of shows that never get recognized and that do brilliant work. But I'm glad to see that these guys are getting recognized as being one of the smaller networks. You know, it's always good to give them credit. It's the same when I hear that – you know, the crew on Arrow is getting some like stunt work awards because the stunt work on that show is just incredible.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Well, also, obviously, as you pointed out, Netflix has got the full season three of The Flash up there on its service, so you can go ahead and binge watch that now. But if you don't subscribe to Netflix, or if you like to like we do, like to have it on your shelf and, you know, get all the extras and stuff like that, the season three Blu-ray will be out about a month before the season four premiere. As we mentioned before, season four premieres October 10th, and the season three Blu-ray is already available for pre-order for September 5th. So right after, Labor Day, I guess, you'll be able to get it on that first Tuesday of September. And if I recall, I think it's like, I don't know if I have the price listed here. I think it's, you know, it's like $32.97 or whatever on Amazon right now. But normally like $49.99. So you can get the Blu-ray or the DVD version there.
Right, right. I've found that generally the prices on other websites are pretty comparable to that. Sometimes a little bit more in the stores. But if this is the cover that I'm seeing on Amazon here for this, that's actually the one they're going to use on the Blu-ray DVD set. A little bit different than what's seen in the past, but it's basically just Grant Gustin in his costume, you know, and coming right at you, speeding, but a little more close up this year. So, we mentioned that season four will be on October 10th. So we'll have much more to say before that. And then this is something we're going to talk about a little bit more as we get to the Comic-Con stuff, but it was announced early in the summer that the villain for season four is going to be Clifford DeVoe. Shocking.
Yeah. And a surprise to no one that listens to Scarlet Velocity.
Exactly. and really, I mean, you know, they gave us hints and stuff, and Clifford DeVoe, of course, if you haven't been paying attention or you were doing something else while you were listening to our show, is the Thinker. So, they did announce the villain itself and not the actor early in the summer. And now we know who's actually playing the Thinker. So we'll kind of get into that.
Cool. Another person that they are looking to cast or have cast, I don't think we've heard a casting announcement, but I'm sure they've probably cast this. They are looking to cast Ralph Dibny on the show for season four. Yeah. So, and not only putting him in season four, but the potential for him to return as a series regular in season five.
Huh.
So now that is a character that we've talked a little bit about before on the show, because Sue Dibny, his wife, I believe didn't she show up in I think it was like first season episode as like a lawyer or something.
Oh my gosh. I kind of had forgotten about that.
Or am I confusing her with somebody else?
I'm not sure. I'll try to check on that. But
anyway, Ralph Dibny may be better known to comic book fans as the Elongated Man, one of DC Comics' stretching superheroes, very much like Mr. Fantastic of the Fantastic Four. Interesting. We don't know if he will be, have superpowers, though it is probably likely. I believe there was a one point he was name dropped as having died during the particle accelerator explosion. I don't know, but you know, if he shows up, it's potential that he will have stretching powers, which how is that going to work on a TV show? I don't know, because they'll have to kind of limit it, but
now,
very interesting ideas there.
Also, if you're not familiar with the comics, you know, and which is totally all right, but the Elongated Man is not to be confused with, say, Mr. Fantastic, right, from Fantastic Four. And
right.
Also
or Plastic Man.
Not to be confused with Plastic Man, who is actually one of my favorite superheroes, but absolutely a ridiculous, just kind of a caricature of a superhero almost. But it was a good 70s cartoon, though.
Yeah, yeah. You know who I was thinking of earlier? The lawyer. It was actually from Arrow, and it was Jean Loring. That was Adam's wife.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's what I was thinking of. I don't know. Sue Dibny might have been mentioned at one point, but I think Ralph actually was.
And also, Sue Dibny was actually a pretty influential character in the comics. And she didn't have any powers or anything. She was just married to the Elongated Man. But I think her death, you know, spurred a whole bunch of storylines. So, maybe she'll have some sort of connection.
No, I think that was Jean Loring's death.
Was it?
Yeah, from Identity Crisis.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, I'm getting them confused too.
See, they're all confused. Well, Sue Dibny, I remember, because Elongated Man was part of the The Justice League, when Kevin Maguire was doing the artwork on it, in one of the miniseries, like, I can't remember what the, it was just one of the funny, reincarnations of the Justice League with Guy Gardner and Booster Gold and Blue Beetle and then Elongated Man and Sue Dibney were part of the Justice League. And, you know, she was, like you said, she's the person with no powers and she was always giving everybody else a hard time because they were all being male chauvinists and stuff like that. So it was a really interesting storyline. And I recommend that to anybody that wants to find out more about either of the characters.
Well, look at that. See, now I'm going to have to start updating myself on some Elongated Man. See, now that I'm getting through the Flash stuff this summer, I'll go back and check out some of that.
I think it was like not necessarily the Justice League or something along those lines was the miniseries.
I remember that. Okay. Well, hey, I heard a rumor. I don't know if you've heard this rumor, that they're making a Flash movie.
I haven't heard about that.
You haven't heard about that? Yeah, apparently.
No, it keeps getting pushed out, I think.
Oh. Well, if they ever do get around to making this Flash movie, or I should say if they ever get around to finding a director who is going to be working well with the cast and crew of the Flash movie. apparently, they announced that it will be called Flashpoint. Wow. Can you imagine them doing a Flash? Oh, yeah, actually. You know, this is just, I'm not going to even dwell on this news much, but it did come out that they are going to do a Flashpoint. In the movie, if the movie follows along the Flashpoint storyline, they could actually do a lot more with it than they did with the TV series, obviously. So, I'm okay with that. I'll still see it. Still not a fan of the direction the movie has been taken, but hey, that's okay. You know, and I'm hoping that there will be lots of fans, but what I've seen so far, not so much for me.
Well, if you don't like Flash movies, Josh, and you've read all of the comic books, maybe a Flash novel for young readers is what you really need. Now, you teach middle school. You teach elementary school.
Elementary school, right? Yes.
Okay, so this is aimed at middle grade students, so it's probably a little bit above your reading level.
I'll have somebody read it to me. That's all good.
It's got pictures, right? So you can...
yes! Good. I can do that then.
So there is a Flash and a Supergirl young reader novel. The Flash is called Hocus Pocus, written by Barry Liga. Not about Abracadabra, but about a mysterious villain who can control the minds of Central City citizens called Hocus Pocus. So, and then the Supergirl one is called Age of Atlantis, and probably doesn't have anything to do with Aquaman. Nope, doesn't look like it. Just calling it that. But these are, inspired by the hit TV series from the CW. And when are these coming out? I think later this year, right before the new season starts. October 3rd for Hocus Pocus and November 7th for Age of Atlantis.
Yeah, so, this is cool. You know what? These are books that I will be buying for sure to use in my classroom with my kids because Flash has become a really important connection with my students. I have quite a few fans of the TV show in my classroom and I always like kind of incorporating that stuff. So they have something cool that they're interested in too. So yeah, I'll pick those up.
I was looking at the art for the covers here. It's by a guy named Cesar Moreno, who apparently learned how to draw from Rob Liefeld because these characters only have one leg each and no feet. So,
hey, and so they've overcome adversity, see?
Yeah. Nice way to spin it.
Hey, also, this has happened since we talked to you guys last, but we want to say a great big congratulations to Daniel Panabaker. Killer Frost, Caitlin Snow, probably, got married on June 24th.
To Ronnie Raymond, yeah. Awesome, right?
No. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. And apparently, Julian Albert's no longer with us, so she found some guy named Hayes Robbins.
Hayes is his first name?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Is he like some famous guy?
Well, he's an entertainment attorney. So he's probably like behind
Never
the scenes.
Never marry your attorney.
I didn't say it was her attorney. I just...
Oh, hopefully.
It could be. I don't know. Anyway, congratulations to her. She tweeted out a picture. And I think we talked – this was before the season ended because Grant Gustin is also engaged. But I think we talked about that before the season was over. So.
Yeah, we did talk about that. And let's just hope that this wedding or this marriage lasts a little bit longer than the one on the TV show. So hopefully they will.
Actually, longer than all of our relationships on the TV show.
Yeah, that's probably true. And as you mentioned, Julian Albert is not around anymore either. Tom Felton apparently will not be returning as a series regular, which is probably not a huge surprise to people. He kind of completed his story arc, seemingly. I guess there may be a chance for him to show up throughout the season or something like that in a guest moment. But it's, again, kind of going back to the core group of actors, Wells, Caitlin, Iris, Wally, and Papa Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. I was
Cisco.
I was a little surprised by that news just because he was well received. The character was really fitting in pretty well, and with the rest of the cast, people seem to like him. So I was a little surprised by that, but considering that he did end up being part of the love interest for Caitlin, and obviously that didn't work out. So I guess I guess they said, well, that's where we're done with him.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I think we want to probably spend the rest of the show just going down through some of the stuff that we heard at San Diego Comic-Con. And, I'm sure you've probably, if you guys are keeping up with anything from cons, and especially the San Diego one, that they also talk to casts from shows and movies behind the scenes or on their little table, where they can give interviews and things like that. So some of these come from like Entertainment Weekly Live. They did a little segment. Some of this stuff came from the panel or anywhere else that I could kind of scrounge up where the cast was just talking to people.
Just various open mics around the convention.
That's right.
Floor, huh?
And the first thing I will tell you is they appeared to be having a lot of fun with each other.
They just always do. They always seem like they are just fast friends. No pun intended.
So Tom Cavanaugh, I think, is probably one of those employees that gets me in trouble at staff meetings because he's always joking around, and I'm always the one caught laughing, and can't ignore him because he's so fun to listen to because he's always screwing around. However, there was somebody else that was a little bit distracting there because Keaton Lonsdale dressed as Where's Waldo.
Was the most bizarre thing when he came out on stage.
and he wore it everywhere. In every interview I saw or picture walking around or promotional picture with the cast, he was just dressed. Now, he explained it as in other parts of the world, in other countries, Waldo is actually named Wally. So that was his kind of reasoning behind that.
Well, that's cool. And he's from Australia, so, he would know about that kind of stuff.
Yes, and it sounded like that was kind of the reason behind that. But, it was fun. It was cute. Like I said, they were having a good time. Grant, of course, looked like he came straight off of an Abercrombie & Fitch poster. But
yeah.
So they talked a little bit about the season. Of course, at any chance for a question to be asked of what is going to happen, they have to kind of tiptoe around that. Some of the stuff that they talked about I thought was kind of interesting from this season, too. Number one, they did talk, though, that Grant said that Cisco has been working on something to get Barry out of the Speed Force. So it's not like they just left him in the Speed Force and went, so what do you guys want to do now? Should we just build a new Flash, or you want to
big belly burger?
Yeah, sure. Let's go out. You want to get some coffee, or so Cisco's been working on something. So that's one thing that we expect to see. Keenan said that Wally has had to really step it up. One of the things that I read over the summer here was the Crisis on Infinite Earths. And really just because
you read the series.
Yeah, the series the 80s, right? Mid 80s. Is that right?
Yeah, 85, 86.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was a period of time where DC kind of rebooted everything, much like they did with the New 52 and Rebirth and many other times that they've done that over the years. But this was like one of the first times that they had rebooted everything.
This was the first time, yeah. Exactly.
Was it? Okay, yeah. So, and you know, it was just kind of an okay story for me, but that was when Wally took over for Barry, who had ended up, you know, sacrificing himself basically to save the universe. This is kind of what I picture Wally has been trying to do while Barry is gone in the TV series. What do you think?
Oh, okay.
That? You think that sounds about probably not as extensive, of course.
Right. Well, I would think that's exactly what's going on. I mean, I'm sure that when. Because, of course, I don't think this would not happen. When the Flash comes back, you know, there'll probably be a little bit of a tension because, like you said, Wally would step up. I mean, that is kind of was his dream to just be part of this, and now he's the only one, you know, presumably, you know, that stays on this earth to do all this kind of stuff.
Well, Speedster anyway, right? They've got Cisco. And yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of which, you know, Candace Patton said that, you know, she's that Iris. I should start using their character names. I'm getting myself confused. But Iris has kind of stepped up and become the leader of the group. So she's taken over Team Flash to kind of keep them organized. Which yeah, I can totally see, especially since we saw in Flashpoint that, you know, she was helping Wally do that. She's like, to borrow a line from Spider-Man, she's the one in the chair, right?
Right.
Kind of taking over. So, but none of them can relax. Joe said somebody asked Jesse Martin if they could, you know, the characters kind of relax now, everything is saved, it's Avatar. I'm like, what, really?
Never.
Is that, do you watch the show? I mean,
that would be they relax during the summer. It's just, we never get to see them relaxing because, yeah, you're right. That would just be boring, right?
Yeah. What's that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We solved everything. And, now the next season is just all of us going, okay, sure. Whatever. We'll just hang out. Danielle Panabaker said, though, and this may be good news for guys, there's no love interest this season for Caitlin. In the trailer that they showed us, you see Caitlin Snow. You do not see Killer Frost.
That's what it appears to be.
Right.
She was really coy about that during the panel discussion.
Of course, of course. Well, I mean, I just mean they don't show Killer Frost in the trailer. Somebody asked her, you know, something about that. And she said, here's what she said. She asked the crowd, right? She said, who's a fan of Caitlin Snow? You know, cheering, blah, clapping, blah, blah. Now who's a fan of Killer Frost? Cheering, clapping. She goes, okay, nobody's going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So they're both going to be in there. No love interest for her. So I guess the men of Central City are a little bit safer because, you know, nobody's going to be dating Caitlin this season. They be a little bit safer. But also, I guess she's married off camera.
That has nothing to do with it.
No, you don't think so? Wow. I thought, no. You know, I
that's
thought,
not how it works. See, that's cool. You can be married, and then you can still have all these, you know, hot dates on your TV show.
Oh, but
you should really get into TV.
Are you sure? Because, man, I should really get into all right,
you have a voice for
start
TV.
Working on that. Thank you very much. Yeah. I thought maybe Hayes said, you know, hey, no, you're not kissing anybody anymore. So, no. So they talked to the people that were on the cast mostly, with just a few exceptions. Like I said, Tom Felton wasn't there, but they also had Todd Helbing in with the panel. So they asked him a question every once in a while.
Barely.
Yeah, well, you know, that's not why people really
nobody
go
came to see him.
To see him, but he does have some inside stuff where they will. You know, get it from him because he's probably more authorized to say stuff than they are.
Right.
What else? Let's see. Carlos said, Cisco is, you know, somebody asked him what his role is going to be He said, yeah, Cisco's going to dance more.
Yeah, and then Tom Cavanaugh was joking around that because they were asking about the different Wells's and stuff with him. And he said, you know, I did kind of a meaner Wells in season two and a slightly funnier Wells in season three. And then season four, I'm just going to sing all the lines. And then, you know, everybody was kind of – some people were cheering and, like, the cast was like, kind of groaning about that.
So then during the panel, they asked him all kinds of questions that they filled time with because they couldn't ask him what was going to happen in season four. But I liked that one of the things that they focused on was what they really liked about season three. And they kind of just went down the list, right? And Danielle said that she really liked playing a bad guy. So I bet that's one thing that actors like to do is exploring villains. Because really, villains are more interesting than the heroes, you know?
Yeah. It allows you to do things, obviously, as an actor and as a person that hopefully you would not do in normal life. Otherwise, you know, you're Mickey Rourke, I guess. So it's just, you know, it allows you to explore these areas. And they're just usually better written a lot of the time. I mean, that's, you know, a hero who is kind of boring sometimes because, you know, they are supposed to be good and uphold the law and stuff. And it just allow the writers and the producers and stuff can just go a little more freely with the villain. So of course it would be a little more interesting to,
yeah. Heroes are very predictable, right? I mean, you kind of know they're going to do the good stuff and they may throw you for a curveball every once in a while, but, that's why you go see, you know, a hero is because you know that they're going to end up doing the right thing. Whereas villain, they can go any direction at any time and have different motivations for why they're doing that. And so I can totally understand that. Now, whereas Tom Cavanaugh, I mean, he gets it even better because he could be just about anybody, right? So they kept
multiple
trying to
pull anybody.
That's yeah. Right. They kept trying to push that. It sounds like just kind of the things that some of the things Tom Cavanaugh was saying. It sounds like that he will start off the season as Harry Wells, but it will get to something entirely different at some point.
He says that everybody likes the cowboy Wells, not that they would necessarily do that, but he had made a tape for the producers of just a bunch of different characters that he could do, you know, and everybody liked cowboy Wells. And I think when we talked about it, that was one that I was immediately drawn to.
It was hysterical. So I did see one interview, and I couldn't identify what table this was. This was one of those things. I think they must have a room where they just cram all these actors. It's kind of like the speed dating, right? Only it's speed interviews, and they give them like 2 minutes for each of the media that's sitting there.
Right. They just kind of go around. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he kind of hinted at he talked about how, you know, Lex Luthor is Superman's bad guy, and so they always find a way to come back to him, and the Joker's always a Batman's bad guy. He said, and Reverse Flash is the Flash's bad guy, and you don't come back to him every season, but you always find a way to get back to him. So I thought that was one kind of interesting thing that I had just recently found. I didn't see that on any other panel or anything he talked about. So maybe there's a chance that they'll do something with him being the Reverse Flash again, as opposed to, you know, what we've seen from Legends of Tomorrow and other places that the Reverse Flash has shown up. So
unless they're following along with the comic books, in which case we'll never ever see him again.
Is that how that works? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they spoiler if you're not reading the current issues. I think I'm pretty sure it was Flash, but Reverse Flash is completely dead now, and ain't no way he's coming back.
Oh yeah, sure.
Never.
No.
Never.
No. They don't. Nope. They just don't do that in comics.
Right, right. I mean, once you're dead, you're dead.
Another thing that I thought this was enlightening from the panel. So we didn't know for a long time, you know, how Iris was going to die, not die, whatever, you know.
Survive.
That's
right. The word.
So they tell certain members of the cast what's going to happen, you know, at certain points of the season, but they don't always tell even the actor that's playing that character what's their fate is going to be. Right. And so it was interesting because I guess they told Grant Gustin about Candace and how she wasn't going to die fairly early on in the season, but they didn't tell Candace Patton. Well,
right, because you wouldn't need to at that point. It wouldn't be necessary for her to know that.
Right. Or maybe they wanted her to seem even more scared. I don't even know. But apparently Grant accidentally told her really early on in the season. So when they did come around to telling her, she's like, oh, yeah, I already knew that.
Well, I thought I heard her saying that she said the producers still hadn't even really told her. And they're like, we didn't. Like Todd Helbing was like, didn't I thought we told you. And she's like, no. So I don't know if she was joking about that or not, but that's, you know, that's kind of funny. It's like, it's kind of important, you know, information to get from your boss. and you know, it's like, hey, this report's due and then you're dismissed. It's like, no, you're not really dismissed. But you know, we wanted to say that just, you know, to provide tension to everybody else. And it's like, you know, oh, we forgot to tell you we weren't fired. I'm sorry. You know,
it's like, I forgot to tell you.
Yeah.
I hate when they forget to tell me that I am fired. That's the one I don't usually like.
It's embarrassing to keep showing up.
That's right. Yeah. You know what? I was joking about the wedding invitations earlier, but I did see in one interview on comicbook.com with Danielle Panabaker, and she was talking about how she would change the show to Damn It, Barry, because she says it so often. Maybe season 4, yeah, that'll be like the little, you know, the little subtitle.
The subtitle, The Flash, Damn It, Barry.
Yeah.
Well, and Todd Helbing, I know he was kind of joking about this, but I wonder if they are not going to shy away from any more time travel stuff, because someone did ask the question about why
how Savitar, you know,
how did Savitar existed.
Yep.
If Barry saved Iris and all this stuff, and Grant Gustin is just like punching himself in the face, and Todd Helbing's like, that is why we don't, you know, that's the reason why we're not doing time travel anymore. You know, it's like, see me later, because it's too complicated to discuss now. But, I kind of hope they do. I mean, time travel is a component of The Flash, but it shouldn't make up everything about The Flash, because as soon as you start doing one time, it seems like, you know, we've had time travel introduced and it's been nothing but time travel. And I know there's still some things they do need to solve, like who's the third Flash in the past that waves off Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to find out about that. So I'm assuming he does have to go back one more time. But hopefully it'll be, you know, it'll fit in with the storyline instead of just,
yep,
him being selfish or something.
Well, and
like,
and we have some stuff in the future, you know, that we have seen that they could also play around with. But I'm with you. It's not a time travel show. So it shouldn't always focus on that. So I think you're right. I think they're going to kind of shy away from that and having the speedster villain in season 4. And you know, I think they're aware of that. But it seems like they've got these really grandiose ideas, and they're really trying to fit them in. And I don't know if they have an overall plan for the series, you know, it's like, okay, well, by the time we get to season 5, we'll get to this storyline, and season 6, we can focus on this. I don't know how far out they look. But
well, they have talked about how they wanted to get to Crisis on Infinite Earth at some point, which to me it's kind of like saying, I want to do The Watchmen, but we're going to do it on, you know, ABC. It's just, you can't do it that way. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would say that's kind of what they did with the movie. You know, they tried to compress this really grandiose story into a film. But you know, there's just, I guess the point of Crisis is not that there are so many characters, but part of the appeal of Crisis for me is that there are so many characters.
Yeah.
And there are characters that are necessary, nobody's really necessary, but you know, like needed for certain aspects of the storyline that they don't have access to, you know, so they're going to have to substitute the next best character. Like, you don't have Batman, so you can use Arrow. We don't have Superman, so you can use Supergirl, even though Supergirl has an important role in the story,
right,
you know, separate from Superman, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I know there's a lot of stuff that was made about The Flash for Crisis, because Crisis defined the character of The Flash for so many years, because he actually stayed dead for, I don't know, what, 25 years?
Yeah, a long time.
Yeah, and I was discussing with some friends, like, you know, who stayed dead in comics longest? And you know, as far as characters that have come back, I think it might be him. But Uncle Ben, I think, is the winner because he's still dead, I'm pretty sure.
The other appeal for me for Crisis was having characters interact with characters that really wouldn't ever, you know, shouldn't ever, because there's really not an opportunity for that. You know, I'm talking about like, you know, Western comics and World War II comics interacting with, you know, the future characters.
Yeah,
you know?
The Legion of Superheroes.
Legion of Superheroes. And yeah.
Batman and stuff. Yeah.
So that was another appeal. And, you know, you could kind of do that on this, because I think you could find characters that would work like that. But I almost think that Legends does that pretty regularly, where
that's what I was going to say. They fill that role.
Yeah.
I mean, they're. Yeah. Pioneering this, I guess.
I'm not even sure they really need a Crisis on Infinite. I mean, really, that was a storyline to reboot the whole franchise. I mean, and they don't really need that on this show. And they've done just about every other reboot, because they've done now they've done Flashpoint. And now this season, it seems like they're doing Rebirth. I mean, the very first episode is called Reborn. So, you know, and I don't know how deep they're going to go. We felt like they didn't go that deep with Flashpoint, although really the season was all kind of based on that. But
right.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, those are good things to kind of watch for and see where they go. But this, it's not going to have a speedster villain. It's going to have somebody completely different. The Thinker, where Helbing described season 4 as the fastest man alive versus the fastest mind alive. So
that's a clever way to market it too. I think that. You know, it's kind of like brawn versus brain. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of that age old question. You know, what's gonna, you know, who would win? And the strengths, I'm sure, are going to be different. You know, some, you know, Barry's going to have certain things that he excels at, and DeVoe is going to have things that you know, he excels at. So we'll just have to see how it all shakes out here. But you know, like I said, even before we kind of knew we were getting into the Thinker, right? That's
right.
The character's name. That, you know, they needed to go with someone who could basically think faster than the Flash. It was just going to be somebody who has to set up things, because the Flash moves so fast, you can't beat him on strength alone, because unless you're a speedster, you'll never be able to do that. So really the only way to deal with that is to kind of outthink him and do things that he's not predicting that you're going to do, and, you know, not knowing that you're going to do. So
well,
I'm cautiously optimistic about this.
Yeah, me too. And you know, having somebody that's a, you know, I guess a genius, is, it gives you the opportunity to have crises, to not, you know, be too specifically connected to that, where Flash would have to, you know, solve some of these things that he might be doing, the Thinker might be doing, that don't involve just outracing somebody. So, and they say even that they've reimagined this Thinker in a way that he can interact with speedsters and with Vibe and with Joe, you know, in different ways that make him threatening, you know? And they don't give much more than that, you know?
Good. I mean, I don't want them to give away. I mean, I hate when they say, oh, here's all the cool stuff we're doing in the season opener.
Oh, right.
You know, and so we know that, and I'm sure probably by October we'll know a lot.
Well, and I'm guessing a lot of the trailer that we saw is from the opener. That's how it was last year too, you know? But I do want to say this one quote right here that I found about the Thinker, and we can just kind of let this stew as we think about him the rest of the summer. He has a way of being involved and not being involved at the same time.
Huh.
So I don't really know what that means, but it gives me a lot of things to think about how they're going to use the Thinker. So,
well, I would think that it, you know, that he sets up things, but then puts his plan into motion, and, you know, because he is so smart, he knows what people are going to do, so other people end up, you know, acting out elements of his plan for him, I would guess, you know. So
yep.
he's behind the scenes, and he puts the, you know, he puts everything in motion, and then kind of sits back and lets it
minions happen, he's got his minions
knocked over.
Is this it's like Egghead from Batman? From is that
Yes, just like Egghead. Vincent Price? Yes. Okay. Now, you said that Clifford DeVoe was cast, right?
That is correct.
Do we know who it is?
So apparently they revealed this. I think they revealed this at San Diego Comic-Con, actually. But Neil Sandilands. Am I saying his name right? Sandilands?
Sandilands, yeah, that looks like it.
And he is an actor that you might recognize if you've seen any of these other things, the 100 on the CW.
Nope.
But also a series called The Americans. I've heard of both. Those are two of his bigger roles that he has been in. So that's why I kind of listed those as him. But people are pretty excited about that. I guess they like this guy. I don't know much about him, but you know.
Well, it says here he's from South Africa, so I would hope that he gets a chance to use his accent, because I love Afrikaans accents. I think, you know, if you've watched any Neil Blomkamp films, especially District 9, there's a lot of that accent in there.
That would be really cool.
Really kind of a delicious villain-sounding voice.
And I don't want to, you know, I mean, I don't like to judge based on appearances, but when you're casting roles, that's one of the things you're supposed to look like. You know, CW
kind of... Like a villain?
Well, no, I mean, just like that character, right? CW has kind of a reputation of casting really, really good-looking people, and I can't say that they're doing that any different with Neil Sandilands, but this guy has kind of a facial structure that works very well for me to be intimidating, right? It's a bit mm-hmm. longer with real square cheekbones and a square jaw. And so I don't know much about this guy, but I can see him being a very intimidating character. So I'm looking forward to see where they go with this guy.
Thanks for the setup on that. Cause they, like you said, they cast really, you know, pretty actors and stuff for that. So also showing up this season is Danny Trejo, also known as Machete, in any number of films, you know, from Dusk Till Dawn and Machete and Spy Kids and stuff like this. And he will be playing Gypsy's father, I guess.
That's right. Breacher, apparently, is his name.
Breacher.
Yeah, well, or at least his superhero.
Obviously,
name.
Cisco didn't come up with the name. Yeah, because it's like, what do you do? I breach her. Hey, how you doing?
So
that's a horrible.
When they announced him at San Diego Comic Con, they got a very, very vocal cheer from the audience, because he is he's a very well liked actor, because he's been in so many great things, and he's just got
how many great things has he been in?
Well, he's done 339 acting parts. I'm not sure if that includes his Snickers commercial, but that's awesome. Wow. I like this guy. And you know what? I think he's a good-looking guy. He's got a good look for him, man.
I was going to say, when he stands next to you, he makes you look beautiful.
Oh, thanks. it looks like, and this is just according to, I think IMDb is where I caught this, but it looks like his first appearance is going to be episode 13. So we'll have to wait a little while to see Breacher.
Huh. Okay. That's very specific.
Well, I mean, that's just, again, that's kind of according to IMDb. So
I was going to say, yeah, IMDb can be edited by anybody. There you go. That's our thing. But that's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing it, you know, as in terms of like character actors, you know, as I think he brings a lot to it. It's like when they throw James Edward Olmos on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, it's just one of these actors that has been around and done all these great parts, and, you know, and they get a chance to bring them in the latter half of their career, where they may not be getting all the juicy parts they once got, but it's a win-win for everybody on the CW,
yeah.
I think.
Well, one other new casting announcement that they made at San Diego Comic-Con was a character called the Mechanic. And this is going to be played by Kim Engelbrecht.
Okay. Again, is that a male Kim or a female?
It's a female Kim, and apparently she has been on something called The Dominion and Eye in the Sky. This is a little bit younger, a lot younger actor, because Danny Trejo. What did we find out? Danny Trejo was 74. Is that right?
Yeah, he's like 73, 74.
Not to, you know, just to prove my point of CW casting, she is a very beautiful young woman. She was also from South Africa, though. So I don't know.
Oh,
I don't know if she'll have any kind of relationship to the thinker or not. I mean, because, you know, they could connect that with the accent, I suppose. But that's completely, you know, irrational speculation. I have no evidence of that. But it just happens to be from there, too. So don't know much about that one other than, like I said, she's young. Her name is The Mechanic, and she's very good looking.
Okay.
So now we're just about out of time, but I wanted a couple other things. They in the trailer, you know, like I said, they put a lot of enticing scenes in the trailer, as they did last year at Comic-Con. But we did see Vibe in action with Kid Flash, and they were fighting a samurai looking character.
A samurai robot, apparently.
It could be, yep. And now I was trying to find out what this could possibly be, and I did find that there are something called samuroids, which you know, you can sometimes get if you've sat on a horse for too long with a sword. I don't know.
Yep.
But no, they have shown up in some Batman stories, on Brave and the Bold cartoon, or was that cartoon or the comic book series?
Maybe it was the comic book series. I think when they're talking about, I think they're talking about the Brave and the Bold comic series here, but they might have shown up on the cartoon. I don't remember seeing it, but I didn't watch every episode of that.
So. Yeah, me neither. So anyway, that's what I could find from them. So, I don't know. I don't know much about them, but they show up a nice little action scene with a big, powerful sword that sends nice little shockwaves across that catches Vibe off guard.
Very much. Yeah, it surprises everybody because, of course, you know, he's like, what are you going to do with the sword? And then all of a sudden he unleashes this wave of energy or something like that. And they're like, wow, I didn't see that coming.
With one of their visual effects there with a car flipping upside down over. Yep. So had to get that in there. They also showed, I mentioned earlier, they showed Danielle Panabaker as Caitlin Snow. Full-on Caitlin Snow. Well, I don't know full-on, but, I mean, she's dressed like Caitlin Snow. Her hair's not white. She doesn't look as cold. She's smiling. You know, she's helping the team. So somehow she's coming back, it looks like, probably early on.
All right.
You know, what other speculation this kind of happened? I think this was a fan question from one of the people that were in the audience. But someone asked, because we have Jesse Quick, and that is Wells' daughter, could it – you know, is it possible that we could be seeing Tom Cavanaugh as Johnny Quick, who is a speedster in the comics, and he's a good guy speedster, so not a villain if you're not familiar with him. All he said was kind of maybe, and you know, coming from Tom, that could just be him teasing you for something that has nothing to do with anything on the show, or, you know, it could be possible, but I don't know. That would be kind of interesting seeing. Plus, he did mention something about Reverse Flash in that other interview. So I don't know if I'm stretching, but we'll.
No. That's Ralph Dibny.
Oh, right. Excuse me. Yep. See, we got stretching. We got speedsters. There's so much. One other article that I saw, this has been since Comic-Con, but Grant tells Entertainment Weekly that Barry comes back as a changed man. Now, are you shocked by this? He's going to be
no.
Wow,
he's not as he's not going to be as whiny. Maybe
a changed man. Is there an episode ever where he doesn't come back as a changed man from the previous week? I don't. It seems like he's always. but he also said, you know, I said that the first episode's called Reborn, and Grant says it's kind of a rebirth for Barry. And again, you know, it's almost like they're going with the whole comic storyline too, but I don't think it'll be quite as drastic as the Rebirth comic storyline, but
sure.
But it says, this was what I thought was kind of interesting, is that the Speed Force is everything happening all at once. You know, it's a non-linear place. You know, time doesn't really exist, I guess, in the Speed Force.
Yeah.
And that he's experienced so much so quick in the time that he's been gone that he has – it's almost like the Savitar Barry. He was in there for a really, really, really long time to him. You know, not to us. It's only been a few months. But to him, it's been a long time. So when we see Barry for the first time, he's going to be much, much different. And I think because of that, him and Iris, are they say, are going to be having a lot of issues, you know, like as sure. a couple.
Yeah, that's cool. I just hope that they are a little bit smoother with the character transitions from one state to another rather than be like, this episode, he won't know who everybody is, and they're going to have these problems. And the next week, he's totally cool with everything because,
yeah,
you know, it's been a week. And it's that weird jump. You know, we had this at the beginning of season three. The Flashpoint stuff happened. Cisco was really mad. Cisco kind of wasn't as mad. And then the third episode, Cisco was like, hey, buddy, how you doing? It's too drastic a change from week to week, even though we're supposed to assume it's been a week, but a lot of the times, you know, you just need to ease that in to each episode. You can't just have this, you know, kind of unwritten rule that, well, you were gone for 6 days, and so the characters had 6 days to do whatever. That's lazy.
Yeah, well, and that was kind of our argument with Flashpoint last year with taking care of all that in the first episode. Yeah, I'm totally with you. I hope they spread it out. This would be something that would last for quite a while, so... Wow. Well, that was a lot to get through. I had a couple little pieces of feedback I just wanted to share this week, and then maybe we can get to that also, or you know, on our next summer special that we do. But one was that our winners from our contest at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah, with fan sets.
Yeah, yeah. They received their pins in July, and you know that. Fan sets had, you know, they didn't have them yet. I mean, they were still being created. And as soon as they were created, they sent those puppies out. And I got to say, they're beautiful. I have
these look,
mine.
Yeah, these look really nice.
Hanging on the wall right in front of me here. I keep all my pins together. I got them all in a line now, so they look great together. Jared, one of our winners, he posted a picture with of the Flash one with the arrow pin that he had bought. And they look great together.
He actually won both pins.
Oh, did he win both
pins?
Oh.
From each show, yeah.
That's right, that's right. Then Mike also showed a picture of his on Twitter. So thank you guys for sharing those. We love when you put pictures of that stuff on Twitter and Facebook. I had a chance to actually visit the guys from Fansets at Denver Comic Con when they were here.
Yeah, I know. I was very jealous.
And it was – I was very happy to see that they had an exclusive pin from Denver Comic Con. It says Denver Comic Con on it, and it's really cool because it has the Flash on it. So I was stoked about that. This thing is like 3 inches high, and if you're familiar with what the Colorado State flag looks like, it's a blue flag with a white stripe in the middle, and in the middle is the letter C for Colorado. It's a red C with a yellow, which is supposed to represent the sun. A yellow circle in the middle of the sea. And so that's what this pin looks like, but it's got the mountains on it. It's kind of sparkly and it's got Flash like running right through the middle of the sea. So it was great. I have that hanging up under my other superhero pins. So it was great to see those guys, and I was glad I got that pin as well.
Yeah. And if for those of you that didn't win a pin and are still interested in this, you can actually go to fansets.com and you can order the Flash pin or the Arrow pin or any one of hundreds of other really cool pins they've got. They've got a bunch of DC Bombshells characters they put up now. Stay tuned to our show here and to also to Green Justice. We're going to be coming up with another contest that you can win even more cool stuff later in the summer or towards the beginning of the season here.
That's right. That's right. So, and then, you know what? I just wanted to share one other, Twitter message that,
this is cool
that I wanted to say, you know, I had posted that I was watching seasons 1 through 3 of the CW Flash and then now making my way through the 1990s, series, which again, I still, I feel and share that it was a masterpiece. And then there was a Twitter user, John WS,
John W.S.
John W.S. He said, he little smiley face and said, why, thank you. So he may have been involved in the 1990 Flash series in some way. So I just want to say you're welcome.
Well, I ship you guys.
So that was nice of Mr. Ship to say thank you. Thank you to me. It made my day.
He is very generous on Twitter.
Yes,
I will
say.
He takes a lot of time to retweet people and to really show love back to the fans on Twitter. So, you know, or whoever it is that's running his account. But I do like to think it is him.
So. Yeah, I do too. So, all right, man. Well, that's great stuff so far over the summer, but we got more summer and more time between now and the premiere. And the Blu-ray set's going to be coming out. So you and I'll be checking that out and letting everybody know what we think of that. But, for now, you and I, we better run. We gotta exercise over the summer, right? So we better run.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back in probably about a month with the next batch of news. But, until then, Scarlet Velocity is proud to be part of the Random Chatter Network. If you like what we're doing here at Random Chatter, help support us by leaving great reviews on iTunes, telling your friends about our show, and supporting us financially. You can visit patreon.com/randomchatter to see all the contribution levels and the perks that we offer for each. A donation of just $1 a month can help get you access to our Slack channel, where you can interact every day with our hosts, staff, and other fans. You can also contact us on the show here by email at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com or through Twitter at scarletvelocity or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/scarletvelocitypodcast.
And also you can check out our other shows, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. You can find those at randomchatter.com. And we have summer specials for those shows as well. You can also, of course, find the shows on iTunes. And we would love for you to go over to iTunes and give us some reviews and type up a little message so people can help join us and come have fun with us too. So you can also find those on Stitcher for Android or iOS. So thank you guys very much for joining us on our summer special this year. And Jay, thank you again for joining me and talking about all the great stuff coming up. And
sure.
So I look forward to talking to you guys again. And remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.